Val, I think I speak on behalf of all of us to say it was wonderful to hear your story earlier on. Thank you for sharing it with us. And it's wonderful to see how clearly your love for Jesus shines through who you are and your gratitude for what he's done for us. Thank you for sharing that with us. As Mike was saying, it's helped all of us to remember just how much Jesus loves us. We're grateful for the forgiveness he's given you and to us and for his presence with you in all things. Now, it's Jesus and his love for Val and for all of us that we're celebrating this evening. That's why all the songs have been about that. And we're just going to spend a few minutes now looking at a passage in the Bible that reminds us of who Jesus is. Who it is the person who we are celebrating together. Now, the beginning of any book tells you a lot about what the author is trying to tell you. The way that someone starts off a book about someone else is significant because maybe they might tell you something about an important or significant story in that individual's life. Or sometimes they'll tell you where they were born or the family that they were born into because that was significant for making them who they were. Well, Jesus' disciple John had been with him during his time on earth. He'd seen Jesus' miracles. He'd heard his teaching. He'd watched him die and then been amazed to meet him risen and alive again just 3 days later. And so towards the end of his life, John sat down to write his own eyewitness account of what he had seen of Jesus. And we're going to look at the opening of that book just for a few minutes together. And we're going to see some amazing things that John wants us to know and understand about Jesus. So we're looking at John chapter 1. We're on page 1063, if you're using a church Bible, and we're going to read the first 18 verses over there on the right-hand side of the page. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Very briefly, we're going to see five things about Jesus in this passage. Five things that will excite us and will amaze us as we see more of who he is. I think if you ask people around and about today who they think Jesus is, you'd get a variety of responses, I would guess. But the vast majority of them, I think, would be overwhelmingly positive. So people might say something like, "Well, he's the wisest teacher who ever lived. He lived a life of love and he wanted his followers to do the same. He was the kindest man in history. He was a great example to follow." Now, all those things are true. But if that's where you stop in your description of Jesus, if that's all you think Jesus is, then it's a bit like describing a police officer as a man with a funny hat. It might be true, but it greatly underestimates the significance of the person that you're talking to, and it runs the risk of putting you in real trouble with someone in authority. See, it's not simply enough just to think good things about Jesus, not when we begin to see who he really is. So let's see what John tells us about Jesus. And the first thing he tells us is that Jesus is no ordinary man. Jesus is God himself. And as soon as you say that, that changes everything from the word go. It's interesting, isn't it, how that when John first introduces Jesus here, he doesn't call him by his name. In fact, he doesn't use the name Jesus until right at the end of the passage that we were reading down in verse 17. Instead, to begin with, he calls Jesus the Word. John says here that Jesus is the Word of God. Why is that? Well, I think it's because words are how we communicate, aren't they? Words are how we communicate, how we introduce ourselves to others. We use words. So John says here that Jesus is the Word of God. This is God communicating. This is God introducing himself. This is God saying hello. Not God sending a message, but actually God coming himself. So verse 14, if you noticed on the way through, talked about the Word becoming flesh. The Word taking on a human body. Now, verses 1 and 2 told us that Jesus was around long before he was a human. He has always been there with God because he was God. But now, in this point in history, God had come to earth as a human being. Jesus is God himself, the one who, as verse 3 reminds us, made everything that we see and we feel and that we enjoy, and everyone that we see and hear and enjoy, including you and me. And that means that at the end of the day, we owe him everything. We owe him our life and our breath. But the problem is that very often I don't live that way. And that's why I need to be forgiven by God for not treating him as he deserves. Just like Val was telling us earlier on. Val has experienced the joy of God's forgiveness. Jesus, you see, is God himself. Secondly, we're told here that Jesus is the light bringer. Did you hear how many times the word light was used in that opening few verses? I counted 7. That's a lot. Your English teacher would tell you that's too repetitious. Light is a beautiful thing. Light is a beautiful thing. And John describes Jesus in verse 5 as light shining in the darkness. When you're lost on a dark night, there is nothing more wonderful than seeing a light in the distance. Light shining in the darkness is a beautiful thing. We live in a beautiful world, and we see it around us today, but we also live in a broken world. Val hinted earlier on at some of the struggles of life and some of the tears that she has shed. And each one of us, in our own way, can identify with that, can't we? There is darkness in the world, but Jesus came to offer hope, to be light shining in darkness, to be the one who is always with us, always helping us, always sustaining us, but also to be the one who is always at work in us, changing us, so that we might become more the people that we were supposed to be. It's no good looking for light anywhere else other than Jesus. It's no good looking for light anywhere else other than Jesus. John the disciple, tells us in verses 6 to 8 of another John. There were Johns all over the place at this point. The one he's telling us about in verses 6 to 8 was known as John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was another great teacher. And he was an enthusiastic man for God. And he was also enthusiastic about justice and goodness. I know other people who are a bit like that. But those other people, however wonderful they are, they're not enough. Just as John the Baptist was not the light. Only Jesus brings true light into our darkness. Because only Jesus offers transformation, offers change. Only Jesus offers life beyond death. Because only Jesus has beaten death and has risen himself. And only Jesus offers us God's welcome, God's forgiveness. Jesus is the light bringer. And then thirdly, Jesus is the life giver, verses 12 and 13. Yet to all who did receive him, it says John, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Now, I've played my small part in giving life to 3 wonderful children, of whom I'm very proud. And in my better moments, I think maybe they might even think it is good to be a children of Russell. I'm not sure about that. I'm not going to ask them now. But Jesus here, Jesus gives everyone who receives him, who trusts him, who asks his forgiveness and makes him their king, he gives them the right to be called children of God. Wow, isn't that spectacular? We are given the right to be called children of God. That's something else entirely. Perhaps someone might ask, but aren't we all God's children? Well, not according to what John says here. Yes, we are all made by God, and we have dignity and value as a result. But the problem is that because each one of us has rejected God, we've not lived lives that love him and worship him. I certainly haven't. And so as a result, what I've done is I've disowned him. I've walked away. I've cut myself off from him. But the wonderful good news of Jesus, which Val reminded us about so wonderfully earlier on, is that he offers to forgive us and to make us right with God, to make us God's children. Not because we change our ways, or because we become better people, or we try harder, or because we do enough good stuff to earn his favour. No, but because he's loved us and he's died for us, which those songs that we began reminded us of. He's died for us in our place. He's taken away all that we've done wrong, and he's given us his status instead as children of God. He offers us life. Because life is to know and to enjoy the love of God, because that's what we're designed for. It's what we're made for. And all of this is his gift to us, because fourthly, John tells us that Jesus is full of grace and truth. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, grace is about a free gift which is undeserved and not earned. And Jesus is also the one who speaks the truth about us. Jesus tells us that each one of us has something wrong with us on the inside, that we don't live as we should, we're not even meeting our own standards, let alone God's. And yet he offers to forgive us. Not to offer us a way to earn back our standing with God, but to give it to us. Out of his grace. And all we have to do is do what John described back in verse 11. All we do is receive him. All we do is to trust him, to believe in him, to do what Val talked about, to say I'm sorry, and to say thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. To ask him to change us as we make him our king, because Jesus is full of grace and truth. And then finally, at the end of our passage, we're back to where we started with the reminder that Jesus is God himself. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus came to make God known, to show us what God is like. I wonder what you think God is like. Some people think of God as a kind of stern headmaster who's out to spoil our fun. That's not what Jesus shows us. Some people think he's some kind of thunderbolt-wielding figure waiting for the opportunity to catch us out and smack us down. Jesus came with love and with compassion, bringing healing and helping. Some people have the impression of God as a distant figure, far off and uninvolved. He's far too busy or important to be interested in someone like me. Jesus came to earth to show us God and to be involved. And some people think God doesn't really matter. But Jesus is the God who made the world and everything in it and everyone in it. And so he deserves our love and our respect, our worship and our obedience. And there are consequences if we refuse to do so. It's not what we naturally do. And so Jesus came to offer us what we need: forgiveness, light, life, grace. But more than that, Jesus came to offer us himself. That's why Val is so full of joy today and why we enjoy seeing it in her face so much, because she's received Jesus. Not simply forgiveness, but Jesus. And she knows the wonder of his love and his help and his presence and his forgiveness. She knows Jesus. And that same offer is open to all of us today. And all you have to do is say yes to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, you're right, I haven't lived your way, and I'm sorry about that. Yes, Jesus, I recognize you are God, and I want to live as if you are God. Yes, Jesus, I want you to be king of my life and for you to make me a child of God, not because I'm good enough, because I'm not, but because you are full of grace. It really is that simple. Because you see, Jesus, God himself, has done all the work for us by his death on the cross. And he says, come and have me. I want to be your Lord and your King and your friend and your brother. And all we have to do is say yes to Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are God himself come to earth. We thank you that you didn't stand far off and distant and uninvolved, but you came and got involved in this world to bring hope and light and life and grace and truth to us. Thank you for your generosity towards us. Thank you for what we see in Val of your love for her. We pray that we would know more of that love ourselves too. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can celebrate you. We thank you that you are good and you are kind, that you are loving and that you are merciful. And so we pray you would remind us of that day by day. Remind us of how wonderful you are, that we might know the joy of knowing you and enjoying you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his glory. Amen.